Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So close to that weekend together. Thank you for that. Man, what a crazy last hour. I loved hearing all of those hitchhiker stories. Loved them. As far as I know, my parents never hitchhiked. I should ask them. That would be a weird conversation. Hey, Mom, Dad, you guys ever hitchhike? You got any hitchhiking stories? I don't want to know. Do I want to know? I don't want to know. I'm going to try not to. But if you have a good story you'd like to share, we always start the 1 o'clock hour off with Tell Me Something Good.
It's Ryan Recker, Overnight America, and time for
Tell Me Something Good.
So here's the number. You can call or text it in 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I keep hearing on the texting line about Clavin, who's excited for a new job opportunity. That is something good. Do you have something good you would like to share? I got a couple of different ones here. How about we start with Valley Park, Missouri? This is kind of a cool little story. The PGA Championship, Belle Reve, is going on. It's going on through the weekend. And as you can imagine, little emergencies pop up here and there. So what happens when a little emergency pops up? Well, you kind of have to react to it. And sometimes you are in demand, like this welder.
He's a modern day Iron Man, fixing some irons, man.
Okay, so this is the story from Fox 2. I'm laughing because I like it. I like it. That's an old school way of starting a story. It's not easy to think of something clever like that. Come on, that's funny.
He's a modern day Iron Man, fixing some irons, man.
Oh, that's like a dad joke if I've ever heard one. I loved it. That is the dude I can imagine is driving in the car. He's got the kids in the back seat. He's a modern-day Iron Man because he's working with Iron Man, and he turns around to look at the kids in the back seat, and they put their hands over their head like, oh, Dad.
He's a modern-day Iron Man fixing some irons, man, or at least some putters for a PGA pro.
Yes, Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah, so he's a pretty big deal.
The third-generation family-owned Valley Park Welding has been in business for 47 years.
Whatever comes in the door, we try to tackle it.
Awesome.
This week, they got the call about the professional golfer with the problem putter.
I was able to fuse weld all the way around the putter head, so I didn't have to really add any material or weight to it, so it kind of all stayed the same.
The golfer's name, did you catch that? Bryson DeChambeau. DeChambeau. That's quite a name.
Dustin Huken's weld could not add any weight to the putter, or else it would change the mechanics and motion. Not to mention the mojo needed to sink that putt.
It was a smooth hand. I think they made me more nervous, kind of standing over me saying, don't screw it up.
He also took the time to fix the big clock for the...
You know, there's probably millions of dollars on the line if the golfer... I don't know if Bryson DeChambeau is someone that'll make the cut or not, if it's a great golfer or not. All I know is, yeah, when you are traveling and you're in the tournament, you need everything you can.
Tournament.
We worked on the Omega clock on the leaderboard last Thursday. So a bracket was misplaced. They called us up and was in a time crunch and said we needed a bracket fabricated up and helped to install on the leaderboard. So we did that last Thursday.
His work has to be as smooth as sinking a 20-foot putt with ease, which he hopes to see firsthand from Bryson DeChambeau this weekend.
Cool.
You know, he's a great golfer. They gave me tickets for Sunday, so I'm excited to go out there and cheer him on Sunday and see how it all plays out.
I'm going to see what I could go out there and weld up while I'm there. Cool. That's an awesome story. That was from Fox 2 that wrote that up. I think that's cool. How about this? Judith calling in with something good. Judith, what's going on?
Yes, I have a dog. She's probably been a baseball fan most of her life. We got her at age 10. She's now 16 and a half. Her former owner was a Peace Corps pitcher, and then he was a Red Sox fan. When we got her, we told him that she was a Cardinals fan. But she must have listened to baseball even with him. We don't know now because he's deceased.
Okay.
But she has a room of her own. We're not always in it. But she can tell us whether the Cardinals have won or lost. If they won, her room is as neat as a pin. If they've lost, she has all her blankets and her pillows stacked in a pile. She has her Fredbird toy and baseball thrown all around the room. Mm-hmm. She has very long fur, and her hair is an absolute mess.
Whoa. Okay, so I got so many questions here. So you have your a room dedicated just to your dog?
Yes.
The dog room. So,
well, no, there's other things in it, but mostly to her.
Okay, and you have, how do you know the dog's a baseball fan to begin with?
Well, because she loves listening to baseball, and she gets very upset when the Cardinals lose. And when they win,
she doesn't.
She doesn't. Hmm. And we often will turn the ball game so we can't hear it, and she's right on target every time.
Every time. How many ball games do you listen to on the radio?
Pretty many, but yeah. She's not anywhere. It's not where she is. She has her own radio.
Oh, in her room.
In her room.
Yeah. Yeah. What a lucky dog.
She's a registered therapy dog. She also likes jazz. Mm-hmm. She's the smartest dog I have ever come upon.
Does your dog, sit in a Barca lounger listening to the game?
No.
I try to make a pun there. Bark.
Barca lounger, yeah. No.
Okay.
No. She's almost a bearded collie. There's a mix there.
How old do you think she is?
16 and a half.
Whoa. It's an old dog. Happy dog.
And she loves people. Yes, she's very happy. She loves people.
What do you think is going to happen if the Cardinals make the playoffs? What will your dog do?
Get very excited.
Was your dog around for the last championship? He had to have been. What happened then?
The last championship that we won, she was excited.
Mm-hmm. Lots of tail wagging.
When we lost to the Red Sox, I made a bet with her former owner, and of course I had to pay off.
Mm. I see. Judith, I got to say, this dog sounds pretty fascinating.
I'd love to get a picture of her and Fredbird.
Oh, I guess you could. Don't they have a dog day at the ballpark?
They do, but at 16 and a half, she's kind of semi-retired.
Oh, so she doesn't want to travel to the ballpark. Oh,
well, she's got a couple of health issues, but nothing. She's beaten cancer.
Good.
She's beaten vestibular disease.
Well, good for your dog. What's your dog's name?
Fredbird to come out and visit her.
Oh, you want Fredbird to make a personal appearance? Maybe Fredbird's listening.
Maybe.
What's your dog's name?
Sandy.
Sandy. Okay.
Like an orphan Annie.
And a Cardinals fan.
And definitely a Cardinals fan, and I have pictures of her in her Cardinals gear.
Sandy the Cardinals fan. Thanks for sharing that, Judith.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Okay, so the dog is happy after a win and sad after a loss. Okay, dog just knows. Sometimes a dog's nose knows in the Barca lounger. It's the double pun. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Can you see if you can find a version of that song where it's dogs barking instead of clapping? Woof, 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 woof. It'd be much better. That's for our last caller. I'm sure maybe your dog's getting all worked up knowing that there could be a ball game being played with center field, but later today there's a Cardinals game. What do you think the dog does on off days? Do you think the dog mopey? Oh, no baseball. Or the off season? Maybe you guys can travel down to, is it Mercury? Where do the Cardinals play for spring training? Where is it at? Oh, Jupiter, not Mercury. get my planets mixed up. But down in Jupiter, yeah, go down to Jupiter. I bet you can find Fredbird down there. That might be a fun little trip. There's an article that came out. I didn't know this was a thing, but MLB's Players Weekend is coming back August 24th through 26th, where they put the nicknames on the back of the baseball jerseys. Last year, Kyle Sager's, Corey's brother, was probably the best. They say in this one article from the Sporting News, it's kind of cool they do this. It's like the XFL. The XFL had the whatever name you want to put on the back, go ahead and do it. We'll have some fun this way. So apparently you can pick what you want. You put it on the back of the jersey. There's a couple of Cardinals on what they think are the best nicknames. Like number 23, you have J-E-R-K-O-H, Jerko, you know, Jed Jerko. Because, you know, no one pronounces his name unless you know how to say it. A couple other ones like Game Ender. It's kind of cool. The first name is Ender. I don't know a lot of these baseball players. I really don't watch baseball all that close. Tone Ranger for Tony Watson. Tone Ranger. I like that. I Believe, Stephen Vogt. I don't know why that one is. It's I believe in. Good nicknames. They gave a description there, and I still don't understand the reference. Bringer of Rain for Josh Donaldson. It's a pretty good one. Wild Horse. The Machine, Pujols. I didn't know he was still playing. Man, he's got to be like 50 now. Showtime. It's a good one. Dream. Luke Weaver. Of course, Dream Weaver. I get that one. Luke Weaver on there, number 14 on the list for the Cardinals. Nelson Cruz, the Mariners. Boomstick. Oh, I like that. A Bruce Campbell line. There's a Coltrane for Garrett Cole. Big Maple. Because I guess he's Canadian and maple syrup. And why not have a nickname like that? Too bad he picked the wrong sport. He should be playing hockey with a Big Maple for something like that. That's quite a hockey nickname. There's another one. Michael Wacha is on the list. Wacamole. Oh, that's going to be a good jersey. Oh, and the number one, apparently they could use emojis. There's one was a cardboard box emoji, and the other one was a cheeseburger emoji. I don't know what that means. It's a never-ending quest to bring in younger fans. This one is to make sure the millennials happy. What is that, a box in a cheeseburger? His name's Boxburger. That's the guy's name? Oh, that emojis were designed for names like that. You can find that on the Sporting News. I love the novelty idea. That's kind of neat that Major League Baseball would do that. I wonder if the XFL is going to do that when they get back together. There hasn't really been an update with the XFL and who their final team was. Like St. Louis, there was a chance for it. I wonder whatever happened with that. I don't know. They haven't really said much about it at all. There's a couple of other stories. Man, I had a whole stack of stuff. I had some fun stories and some serious stories. Let's do a fun story first. Why not? We're just in that fun mood. I was laughing out loud, so loud in the office earlier. People were wondering if I was okay. All because of this stupid video that was on YouTube. And I had to find out what was going on. So I found this article on Gizmodo. And the title of the clickbait was, now the only thing your child's good at is being outsourced to robots. And I look at the picture of this for the video. And it's a robotic arm. And at the end of this robotic arm, it's a little rubber hand, like a little doll's hand. And the robot is like, it could point at things on an open book. Now, I want you to think of something when you were a child. Can you think of a large, cartoony book you can open up that would result in you searching and trying to find something on the page? Here's the article. Tired of that smug look of satisfaction on your kid's face when they actually are able to find Waldo on a page faster than you? Well, there's an agency called Red Pepper that built a robot that scans the page and can find Waldo in 4.5 seconds. That's pretty impressive. Doesn't that take the fun out of it, though? But what this robotic arm will do is you'll just go, and then kind of like, when you're putting a couple of quarters into the claw machine, it just falls down and the hand doesn't point or anything. It just kind of like collapses on where Waldo is. So this, it shows it in the video how this works. It scans the page. It uses facial recognition on all the little faces that are on there. And then it matches Waldo with one of 107 Waldo heads that have been inputted into this computer. And it finds it. Thousands of sample images are usually needed to properly train and image recognition, but yeah, the robot's only dealing with simple cartoon people and picks out Waldo faster than kids. One more thing that kids will never be able to experience, the joy of beating your parents at finding Waldo. My kid loves that. We have a couple of the old books at the house. It is a lot of fun. All right, what do I got to do now? Do I do some more serious stories? Yeah, might as well. I got all of these. Yeah, this one, no. I'm going to hold off the serious story till after we get to the weather here. But there was one story in particular that I thought was interesting, and it has to do with media bias, and I got a couple examples of it, and it's important to point these things out. There's organizations that will watch the nightly news and will specifically make reference to the times that they decide to use their selection bias in order to not cover a story. I want to talk about a couple of those that have been in the news lately. There was another article in the Telegraph. Homeless people are wearing barcodes. This may sound like a dystopian type of movie where they brand all of it, but it's not at all. So a new social innovation project called Greater Change, what they do is they go around and they find homeless people and they give them what looks like a press badge. It's a little lanyard that they have around their neck. And on this lanyard is a QR code. I didn't think they still used. QR codes are like so 2009, but it's these little square type of codes. You probably see them. They're square and they look like a bunch of scrambled black and white pieces. So the idea of handing the homeless QR codes is so that if you don't want to hand someone money, like a homeless person begging, and you still want to give them money, but you might not have any on you, you can pull out your phone and make a digital transaction to that person and give them money. Isn't that crazy? Doesn't that seem weird? So the donation goes into an account, which is managed by a caseworker, who then gives the money to the person that was on the street begging for money. I don't know if they manage the money for them. I don't know what they do with it. But if you're a homeless person, again, here in St. Louis, we have some very aggressive panhandlers. I'll get off of the highway and I'll start driving to our work here in downtown St. Louis. And they're in the middle of the street asking for money. Sometimes they'll be on the side of the road, but for the most part, they'll walk right into the middle of the street. They'll go window to window. And, you know, I can't say I've ever really felt not secure, but you got to tell them no. You shake your head and say nope. And they normally move on to the next person. But they don't care. Red light, green light, they're in the street. And I've never really seen police deal with panhandling, at least the times I've drove in. And I've been working here a little over a year and a quarter, maybe a year and 3 or 4 months. And still, every day, never seen anything. You also see on the side of the road a lot of people walking with like suitcases. And if you go just down the road close, like if you go north on Tucker, right where that, I won't say it, but there's a fast food restaurant there. There's a lot of homeless people that congregate around there, and it's close to 70 when you go up north on Tucker, and there's normally a whole row, and they have no place to go because we have such a homeless issue here in St. Louis. They're limiting the people that can get to the Biddle House. The city is fighting Larry Rice, and they won't let him reopen his homeless shelter to help these people, and we got people just congregating in tent cities in these areas, and that's where you see a lot of the panhandling happening. I can't think of something that I would rather not do than pull out my phone and say, hold on a second, I'll pull up an app, let me pull up my bank account, I'll make a digital transaction, we'll be on our way. No, I don't know if this will work. I don't care for it to work. When you scan the barcode on your smartphone, a profile, the homeless person appears. This is like the 1980s, early 90s, Sally Struthers, those late night infomercials. For only 80 cents a day, you could sponsor this homeless person. Are they going to send you emails, reminders? Hey, you haven't given money to this homeless person in a while. Is this what it's turning into? It's the digital version of the Sally Struthers type of soliciting. This is what it's like. Are they going to send you pamphlets in the mail and show you the face of the homeless person you sponsored that month? Oh, man. I don't know. This is just seems so weird to me. They add the homelessness is escalated in recent years and the app will not help address the broader issues. Well, no kidding. So you're saying perhaps you may be auto-funding drug or alcohol addictions? You may be auto-funding their inability to provide for themselves? No way. I guess that's where we're at now. Sponsor a homeless person, Sally Struthers style. That, by the way, is from The Guardian. Telegraph. So this is over in the UK right now. It's not here in the US. It's over in the UK. What a crazy story. All right, we got another half hour or so, and we'll keep the phone lines open if there's something you want to talk about, because I don't want to bum you out too much. I got some of these hard topics that I missed. We we're having so much fun on this show, and I got a whole stack of things I'm going to try to get to before the weekend. I'll try to get through some of those unless there's something you want to bring up. You know, it is Friday after all. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America, KMOX. Standing in the dark, it's a- So producer Ben found something on the internet. I want you to guess what you think this is. Any guesses? Any guesses? You know what it is? It's the sound of a bunch of people that didn't have to go to the bathroom 10 seconds ago, but now all of a sudden find the need to get up and I might as well go. That waterfall sound will make you want to go any time. So this is from Twitter. Andy Sidwell from KSDK posted a video of a car that smashed into a fire hydrant and the water is gushing out. That's no joke. Those fire hydrants are under tremendous pressure. Look at that water. It's as high. It's over the car that smashed into the pole close to it or whatever it was. How about that? That's kind of fun. I got a couple of stories, and I just want to get through them because they're not going to be that relevant. If I hold on them, then might as well plow through it. You know, we got another 20 minutes together or so. There was a survey that came out. It's a little troubling. So there was a question that was asked in the survey. The president should have the authority to close news outlets engaged in bad behavior. And it's a little deceptive type of question. Because when you say engaged in bad behavior, it doesn't really specify what that bad behavior may be. You know, it could mean bad behavior like publishing national secrets or something like that. But I'm going to assume most people understood that as just generally wanting to quiet the press. And when they looked at it, a quarter of Republicans, 23% agreed, 23%. That's a pretty high number, 23%. No, I should say strongly agreed. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't like that they're trying to set up this, but even 23% is pretty high. And when they ran this survey, they made it out to be like, oh man, look at the Republicans want more than the Democrats to do something like that. Well, 12% of Democrats, part of the survey, said yes, they would like it too. And 21% of independents agreed. Okay, so you have 12% Democrats, 21% independents, and then you have the Republicans, 20-some percent too. Again, not good. People need to realize there's always going to be a freedom of the press, but we're at a time where the president will criticize the press, and it doesn't mean that he's trying to shut down the press, okay? What happens is these news networks, what they'll generally do is they'll run a story, which is, let's speculate what would happen if the president decided to shut down the press or something like that. And then they'll run these quote-unquote news stories that aren't really news. It's just them fantasizing or something like that. And then people will get the impression the president wants to shut down the news media or whatever it is. That happens over and over again. And yeah, it's kind of tiresome, and I hope most people see through it, but probably not because it's working for CNN. That's what they do half the day. They just speculate on a question. Oh, wouldn't this be great if... for our ratings, if something like this happened. Let me give you a couple more examples. This is a good one here. This was on Fox News, and I found this on Newsbusters. They do a great job pointing out some of these biases in the media. So you may or may not have heard. If you watch cable news, you probably have seen it. But you probably have heard Democrat Dianne Feinstein had Chinese spy on her staff for 20 years. Okay, you have a high-ranking Democrat official, a senator from California, and it's reported that for 20 years had a spy on her staff. Now, you want to know something that's a little bit weird? The story had one mention on television of the story from CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC. One mention. You don't think that's worthy of mentioning? On Fox News, who did decide to report it, Lindsey Graham voice some concern.
One of the things that we didn't talk about, I didn't know about it until yesterday, apparently about 5 years ago, the FBI told Dianne Feinstein one of her employees may be an agent of the Chinese government. That was the right thing to do, and she fired them. I'm going to send a letter to Director Ray next week and ask him, what is the policy? Why didn't you tell President Trump that you had concerns about Carter Page? Is there a double standard here? If this was a counterintelligence investigation, not a criminal investigation, the FBI should have told President Trump they had concerns about Papadopoulos and Page. Why didn't they do for Trump what they did for Feinstein?
20 years a Chinese spy on our staff. She's a chair of the Intelligence Committee. She had access to classified information and information that would be, quote, extremely valuable to the Chinese government. We're at a time where we're trying to yell and scream about this Russian investigation. We actually have someone on a staff from a foreign agency that was spying on the United States for 20 years on this staff. She fires the person, and that's not the story. You want to know what the story is? Fox is the only one that reported it. CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC ignored it. You want to take a quick guess why they ignored it? Are they right or are they wrong to ignore a story like this? And every time we bring up this fake news or bias in the media, ask yourself, why is it that only one news network is reporting a foreign spy was part of an intelligence committee senator that was sitting for 20 years as a staff member with Dianne Feinstein? So ridiculous. Okay, you want more examples? We got more. During Wednesday's edition of The Five, co-host Greg Gutfeld delivered a monologue highlighting the hypocrisy of the media for slamming President Trump when he goes after media outlets, but for whatever reason, given a big pass to New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, who continues to criticize Fox News. Let's take a listen.
He told The Guardian, if you could remove News Corp from the last 25 years of American history, we would be a more unified country. We would not be suffering a lot of the negativity and divisiveness we're going through right now. We went to the mainstream media for comment on this blatant attack on the press. Stelter's head on a cricket. Only on The Five, ladies and gentlemen. Bill de Blasio, when was the last time you gave this towering piece of politics a thought? So he thinks America would be better off without us? What he's really saying is he would be better off without us. But he's wrong. Even without America's most watched news channel making fun of him, other progressives still shun him. He's 7 feet of political invisibility.
All right, so you have the mayor of New York City. President Trump criticizes the media or whatever, and they make a big deal about it. So you have the mayor of New York City, one of the most influential politicians in the United States, Bill de Blasio. You know, if he wants to limit the amount of soda that is offered in his city, it becomes international news. People pay attention to what happens in New York City. So he does this whole thing and he says, oh, America would be better without this one news network. Oh, okay. But after we continue to complain about freedom of the press and, oh, you got to stick up for CNN and, oh, you got to do this. For a week, CNN and other news agencies were pointing out, why isn't Fox defending CNN for this clear attack on journalism? Okay. Well, where was any of these other news networks reporting Bill de Blasio's attack on Fox News? I'm just saying they don't report this thing. Is it possible there could be bias in the media? How dare we suggest such a thing? Here's another story. This is a good one. You heard what is a legit news story. New York GOP Congressman Chris Collins arrested for alleged insider trading. Oh, boy. That sounds really bad. So Wednesday night, ABC, CBS, NBC dedicated 7.5 minutes of time on the Collins arrest, okay? ABC's World News Tonight spent most of the time, 2 minutes, 50 seconds of that total 7.5 minutes combined on the arrest of Congressman Chris Collins, a Republican from New York. Okay, it's legit. You can spend all that time on it. I wonder if there's any other corruption that happened with congressmen or women in the past couple years. And I wonder how they decided to cover that story. Well, let's go back. 2016 is not that long ago. I mean, we don't have to really power up the time machine to remember what happened in 2016. So let's see. Florida Democratic Congresswoman Corinne Brown was indicted on 24 federal charges in connection to a fraudulent education charity she was running. At the time, the networks ignored it. In May of 2017, she was finally convicted of those charges. The three networks were also nowhere to be seen. The networks again ignored it when she was sentenced to 5 years in prison. So you have Republican Congressman Chris Collins arrested. They spend 7.5 minutes on it. Three big major news stories, including when the Congresswoman, a Democrat from Florida, was sentenced to 5 years in prison out to lunch. How about this too? 2015, we don't have to go too far back, to the Pennsylvania congressman, is it Shaka Fata, a Democrat, racketeering in conspiracy charges linked to the misuse of campaign funds. CBS Evening News spent 22 seconds on it, NBC Nightly News 30 seconds, and the only reason why NBC Nightly News made a note of it is because she was married to a news anchor of an NBC affiliate. Okay. And when the conviction happened, the networks didn't even say a word. Not one word. So why would the arrest of a Republican congressman get 7.5 minutes? And then when we go back just 2 years ago and then 3 years ago, when there were some pretty severe charges brought up against Democrat congressmen and women, and then convictions and jail time, they completely ignore it. I wonder why. You want to know why people yell fake news? That is why. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Feeling pretty good. It's almost the weekend. I should be stretching. Get ready for the weekend. Don't mind me. I'm just going to get ready for the weekend. Feels pretty good. Not taking my shoes off. I don't have to. I'm not doing yoga. I'm just stretching. Jeez. So we have, you know, I almost said Governor Pence because I come from Indiana where he was governor. But Vice President Mike Pence made the announcement today. Space Force.
Now the time has come to write the next great chapter in the history of our armed forces. To prepare for the next battlefield where America's best and bravest will be called to deter and defeat a new generation of threats to our people. To our nation. The time has come to establish the United States Space Force.
Ooh, Space Force. The White House said it will create a U.S. Space Force as a sixth separate military service by 2020. That is a year and a half from now. Vice President Mike Pence told the Pentagon audience, and it fulfills our need to be up and up on the space dealio.
As President Trump has said, in his words, it is not enough to merely have an American presence in space, we must have American dominance in space. And so we will.
And so we will. I like it. The Pentagon proposal delivered to Congress today lays out plans to consolidate the Pentagon's warfighting space forces and make organizational changes to boost the acquisition and development of leading-edge technologies. Really, I think all that means is we have some pretty valuable satellites up in space. It would be a bad idea for us to leave them as sitting ducks, so we might as well develop some way to defend them because we are very reliant on those satellites. You know, it's not going to be like Star Wars. We're not going to go around, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I think mostly it's trying to clean up space junk and making sure our satellites operate correctly. So astronauts, but with something a little bit more different. Maybe probably less scientific and more defense-oriented. Marjorie calling in. What's going on? How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. I want to talk with you. Well, I think this space thing is great. I really do. But I want to talk to you about how mean I think the city council in Hollywood is for tearing out Donald Trump's star on the Walk of Fame out there. He got that for entertainment.
Yeah, well, he paid for it, too. But I don't think they're ripping it up. What they did was they did basically we think it would be a good idea vote, but it was an agency that had no authority over it, so they can just ignore it.
Huh. Well, anyway, I just thought it was mean. You know, because they're kind of Democrat out there anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I just think that's mean, mean, mean.
You know, the thing, too, is that he paid for it, so I don't know what you're going to do, ripping it up. And what does that endorse too? Like, if anyone has a problem with someone else, all they got to do is vandalize it enough until they take it away.
Yeah, that's not right either. No. Oh.
Well, of course they can't. They shouldn't take it away either. Did you see the? They called it performance art or some kind of art out there. What they did today, it was actually pretty funny.
No, I didn't. Okay. I missed that.
What happened was, you'll get a kick out of this. So someone, an artist, decided to, I guess, make a giant sticker that looks like Donald Trump's Walk of Fame star, and he just basically put it on every empty space out there. So there were dozens of Donald Trump stars out there today. I thought that was funny.
Now, whoever that was, I think they're pretty neat.
Yeah, well, they ripped it right up. They didn't let it stay long enough, but the stickers were everywhere. It was some art form or whatever. I don't know why they decided to do that. But I thought it was funny.
It is, but you know what? So you don't hear any media coverage about that much either.
Well,
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, they had it on the internet. I saw some photos of guards looking down, and they were really putting these things down all over the place. You could have probably seen six or seven if you were just standing in one specific place. They had them like all over. And I don't know how many they put down, but that's fun. That's a better way than instead of trying to spray paint or smash it up with a jackhammer or whatever. That's a much better thing to do.
Yeah, well, they did tear that thing up with a jackhammer.
Yeah.
I did see that.
The pitch, one time. Yeah.
Only one time.
Well, it's like the second time that they had to replace the thing. They've already done it before.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was the most recent one. They know who both the people were. Yeah, well, that's the thing, Marjorie. If that makes some people feel better, I feel bad for them if that's what makes them feel good. I really do.
Well, I do, but I just think if council did it because he was president and they didn't agree with him, I think it's mean.
Yeah. All right, Marjorie. Good to hear from you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
You know, something else is happening this weekend that's actually really cool. NASA's launching a new shuttle up into space, and this one is going to go study the sun. That's kind of cool, right? That's a probe they're going to be sending out this weekend. I think it's going to be like Saturday morning, so almost like 24 hours from now, I believe. I think it was supposed to be like 3 a.m. Saturday morning, 2 a.m. Central. And this NASA probe, it's about the size of a car, cost $1.5 billion. They're going to shoot it up into space. They can't just shoot it straight to the sun. They have to put it in orbit around something. So what they'll do is they'll send it into orbit around Venus. And basically what it'll do is it'll shoot around Venus, then it'll shoot around the sun, around Venus, around the sun, around Venus, around the sun. And every time it does that, it gets a little bit closer to the sun. And they had to build this because, well, you can imagine the sun is very hot. It's going to get within 4 million miles of the sun, which may sound like an incredible distance, but it is like unbelievably close to something that's hot as the sun. And once it gets that close, it's going to measure all kinds of different things that we've never really been able to measure on the sun. Atmosphere, solar winds, other properties. It's funny, even though we're able to look at really distant stars and be able to measure and figure out what may be going on, or maybe speculate what the atmospheres are like based on the different amount of light that's being emitted from these stars or these planets that are rotating around these stars. But we have very little knowledge of how our sun actually operates in some respects, like atmosphere. You know, we can only do so much without being able to send a probe there. And that's what this probe is going to be able to do. Solar winds. How does that work? It's a mystery. We're going to find out. That's cool to me. $1.5 billion. I hope it works. I hope this doesn't screw it up. But eventually we're going to get some pretty detailed, like the first orbit around the sun's going to happen in November of this year. So they'll shoot it up to space. They'll get it around Venus and they'll start getting it to rotate, and it'll make several 21 orbits around between Venus, sun, up until December of 2024, when it sneaks into its closest 4 million miles to the sun, traveling at a speed of nearly 430 miles an hour. It's unbelievable. Crazy talk. I love space talk. That's a pretty good one. All right, coming up in the next hour. Got a lot for you as we try to play the weekend the best we possibly can. You know, I got to see the blimp, and did you see that we're going to have listening devices in SLU dormitories? Listening devices. Kind of, really. I want to talk to Alex Degman about that. We'll get to him too. And did you hear what's going on in St. Charles on Main Street? They're giving some hassle to the bar owners out there. I think that's kind of wrong. We'll cover that too coming up on Overnight America. You can reach me on Twitter at Ryan Recker or email me ryan.recker@kmox.com. I'm just happy it's the weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.